Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking right now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans chapter 9. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 27 through 33. And let me get the board ready right up here. Praise God. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Behold, I Lay in Zion a Stumbling Stone. I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. So, what comes to mind on this stumbling stone? And we're going to see that the Apostle Paul was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, during this time that Paul was preaching the gospel, you have to remember that he first came to the Jews, and then they rejected Christ, so he came to us Gentiles, right? Well, he went on to say in this passage of Scripture, when we get to it, that Jesus was a stumbling stone to the Jews. And let me just say this, 2,000 years later, Jesus is a stumbling stone to the world. Oh, that's right. How many people do you know that still has rejected him? How many people do you know that want nothing to do with Jesus? They love their sin. They love to engulf themselves with lasciviousness, licentiousness, and all manner of iniquity. We're living in the times of Noah and Lot. I hope you know that. Or it's very evil and corrupt. And this is why those of you that are strong believers, those of you that have families, raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Shelter them, protect them, sow into their hearts the Word of God, and raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And you can't go wrong, because God's Word will not come back void. So are we there? Let's turn now to Romans chapter 9, and we're going to expound verses 27 through 33. Here we go. And it reads, Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. Verse 29. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom and would have been made like Gomorrah. Wow. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. We're going to look at all this. Look at verse 31. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. And then he says this question, why? Because they did not seek it by faith. Oh, that's the key here. It's by faith. But as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. This is where I got tonight's topic. Who's the stumbling stone? Jesus. And verse 33, look at this. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You see, Jesus is an offense. If you go and preach the gospel to friends, family members, some of them don't want to hear that. It's an offense to them. Why? Because they love their sin. They love their ungodliness. They want nothing to do with light. Jesus is light, and he has made us believers the light of the world. So when we walk into a place, we're lit with the Holy Spirit, and the darkness has to what? Flee. You ever notice that? That when you're in the presence of people that don't know the Lord, they feel uncomfortable around you? Why? Because the light of God is in you. And it's something they can't see with their natural eye, but the presence of God is there. So praise God. So let's break this down. Let's look at verse 27. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. You see, saints, the Jews were called Israel and will not be forgotten. God's sovereign choice always includes some Jews, but his promises were not a blanket guarantee for all of Israel. I hope you know that, because not all Israel will be saved. Isaiah prophesied that only a small number of God's original people will be saved. Paul saw this happening in every city where he preached. Did you know that there was many that hated the apostles, they hated Christ then? And guess what? They hate God today. They hate God today. And even though he went first to the Jews, relatively saints of God, few ever accepted the gospel message. Continuing the quote from Isaiah, God will punish his people for turning away from him. Look what it says right here in Isaiah. Isaiah 10:23. For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. Let me just say this, saints. God will have his last say. God will remember all those who rejected him. And even if they laugh, even if they ridicule you, even if they reject you, they're not rejecting you, and don't take it personal. Guess who they're rejecting? Christ. The hope of glory that lives in you. So, let's now move on to verse 28 of Romans chapter 9. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. Let me just say this. The Bible says that 1 year is like 1,000 years, right? And 1,000 years is like 1 year. So it's only been 2,000 years since the cross. In God's perspective, it's only been what? 2 years. It's not long at all. See, because in eternity, in heaven, there's no clocks on the wall. How many are so blessed to know that there's not going to be any clocks when we're there? Guess what? We're going to be in brand new bodies that will never get tired. You'll never have to put your baby to bed. You won't. And guess what? According to many testimonials of people that have had that experience of being in heaven, there's no children up there. They're all adults. Why? Because they don't need, when you're in heaven, there's no need to teach them to become adults. You ever thought about that? Here on earth, we have to. Why? Because we live in a sinful nature. We got to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We got to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, they will not what? Depart from it. So you have to sow into their heart here on earth so that they can grow and mature, because we're here but a short time. We're not here. If we can live to 80, 85 years old, we've been blessed. My mom didn't live that long. She lived only till she was 62. My dad lived till 96. We're not promised to have a long life, but while we are young and we have children, we want to sow into their life. So that's why in heaven, all the children are going to be adults. When Jesus comes for us, Elliot will be an adult. Because there's nothing to teach a child up there, because we're not going to have the same kind of body we have down here that grows every day. It's going to be totally different. Praise God. And so, in the capacity and the exile, in the captivity and the exile, much punishment had been meted out. If God had not spared a small number of faithful believers, all of Israel would have been destroyed. But he did save a few, didn't he? Yes, he did. The apostles were 12 who God chose, and from them, thousands became saved, and then millions, and then 2,000 years later, we've been grafted in by faith. How many are so blessed that God chose you? Woo! Yeah. We've been chosen. We have eternity written in our heart. We're going to live for Him forever. This flesh we live in is temporary. So no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're facing, whether it's financial, physical, it's only but for a moment. And then God, hallelujah, is going to reveal His glory, and we're going to be with Him forevermore. How many can't wait for that? I can't wait for that. Praise God. Having chosen Israel, God remained faithful to her. If He had not, Israel would have been wiped out as completely as Sodom and Gomorrah. Did you know that? Because during that time that Christ was there, Israel, the nation, was just as wicked as we are today. Because they were part of the Roman government. They all, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they wanted political clout with the Romans. Why? Because they're no different than today. These politicians want to be part of the government. No different. It's all the same. And the ancient cities that were completely destroyed by God for their horrible wickedness was done through what? How were they destroyed? How was Sodom destroyed? Fire and brimstone. I have it right up here. Look at this. Look at this. In Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So He what? Overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground, even the vegetation. But His wife looked back behind Him, and she became a pillar of salt. Why was that mentioned? Why was Lot's wife mentioned like this? You know why? God said to them, get out of the city. Don't look back and keep running out of that city. But she turned back. Why? You know, I said it. I always said it in a kidding way. She had a nail appointment. No, wait a minute. I still have a pedicure in my nails. No. Her heart was still there. Her heart was still there. She goes, oh my. Everything that I have is there. She couldn't see through the eyes of faith that God had something better. This is why God is speaking to us tonight. Despite of what we're going through on this earth, God has something better. Better than this life. So as we go through this life, we go through it knowing that this is but for a moment. And this too shall what? Shall pass. So look at this. He fired, but his wife looked back. She became a pillar of salt. Look at this. And Abram went early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up, the smoke of a furnace. It was completely demolished. God wiped out that wicked city. Now, let me just say this. Why did he wipe out that city? What was in that city? What was in that city? It was very violent. It was very wicked. And two things that were truly an abomination to God. No differently than what we have today. The homosexual lifestyle and the transgenders. Now, I heard this teaching the other night, and it was so clear. It dawned on me what this Pastor Renner was saying. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I go, wow, that's okay. Yes, I see this now. I see this now. God tolerates our sin. He waits patiently. Notice he don't smash us the moment we're born. God is long suffering because of our sin, because he knows we're born in sin. But what makes God go like this? And then now he has to judge that quickly. Not the sin, but it's called a transgression. A transgression is totally different from a sin. A transgression is a heart that defiles God purposely. Are you catching this? See, we're sinful all by ourselves. And God dealt with our sins on the cross. But a transgression is something that man conjures up and rebels against God willfully. And what has they've done? They've changed the order of a man and a woman. God created what? The male and the female. God created the male to come together with the female to become one. In Christ, right? To become one flesh. And so they've perverted the male, they perverted the female, but what's the top of the list of that transgression is now they go in and grab children, not grab them, but they sow into their little young lives lies that I think you should have been a girl. So then what do? They go and butcher them. And they cut out everything and replace it. Is that the most abominable thing that you could think of? What's happening today? Well, it happened back then. This is why God had to destroy it. This is why God is going to destroy things in this nation because of that transgression. It's not the sin. It's a transgression. Wow. You got to remember. So there's a difference now. I'm making it clear. A sin, we're born in sin. Okay? So God knew that. That's why he didn't destroy us. He was merciful to save us. But the transgression is something that we do deliberately against God. In other words, we come against him and we rebel against him, against his order. That's where you're in trouble. You're in trouble with God now. Wow. Jesus, help us. Let's go back to the word here. Look at this. And then verse 29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. I need you to catch this for a moment and then we'll move on. I need you to look at every one of us that's here tonight. And when God overthrows these cities, guess what? He's going to have mercy on us. Because look, he had mercy on Lot, didn't he? He had mercy on Lot. He told Lot, get your family out. I'm going to destroy it. So God's going to have mercy on us because he's going to remove the church. Are you catching this? Hallelujah. Thank you. Woo! Man. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God. He's going to have mercy on us. See, he dealt with our sins on the cross. And praise God, none of us in here are transgressors. Aren't you so blessed? Thank you, God. That's a whole different thing. It's not a sin. It's something that you do against God on your own fruition. Against the will of God. Wow. Help us, God. Let's go back. Look at Isaiah 1:9 says, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very, what? A very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. And we would have been like Gomorrah. Wow. For God had mercy, didn't he? Nothing was left of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God never completely destroyed his people. And God's not completely going to destroy this country because he's going to take us out. Did you know we're not appointed unto wrath? But unto what? Salvation. Amen? So let's move on now to verse 29 of Romans chapter 9. And it reads, and as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we would become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. We just saw that. Now, look what I found in Genesis up here. Genesis 19:23. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back again. There it goes. And she became a pillar of salt. Wow. Saints, today, the Gentiles, you and I are the majority in the church. The church is filled with more Gentiles than Jews. Okay, I need you to understand this. Catch this real quick. In the world today, if you're not Jew, you are Gentile. Okay? There's only two people. Now, here we look at blacks, Filipino, Mexican, Puerto Rican, you know, Russian, and so on. Okay? We look at ethnicity. God don't look at us like that because we are made through the same blood. So he doesn't look at us as ethnicity. He only looks at Jew and Gentile. So we are Gentiles because we're not Jews, right? But the majority of the church are Gentiles. For 2,000 years, the majority are Gentiles. And so we are the bride that's going to be taken away. Now, there's many Jews that have gotten saved. They're called Messianic Jews, right? But the majority are Gentiles. And today, the Gentiles are a majority of the church. But one day, many Jews, too, will come to their Savior when Jesus comes and puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. It says that in Zechariah 14. There is a final judgment to come, and God will carry it out. There is no time to delay, saints of God. We need to have a what? A pep in our step and tell people, Jesus is coming. He really is coming. A few will be saved who of God's people, the Jews, will become part of that small number. But Paul goes on further. So now, let's look at verse 30 now in chapter 9. It says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? You know what he's saying here? Okay? It says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness. Okay. So, back during Paul's day, okay, only the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees had the word of God. But they weren't walking and believing God in faith. And the Gentiles knew nothing about God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we were all dogs. Gentiles were dogs. We were considered dogs to the Jews back then. We were just lower class people. They walked above us. Some of them today look at us no differently. They look at Gentiles like we are second class people. They do. And you guys just pray for them. That God will save them. Amen? But we weren't seeking God. I need you to catch this. We weren't walking in righteousness. There was nothing right about us. But Paul says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. What he basically is saying is when God turned to us Gentiles, he allowed us to come to God by faith. That's how we came to it, by faith. In other words, we never saw this God, and yet we believed. The gospel was preached to both Jews and Gentiles, but it was being accepted by far more Gentiles than Jews. The Gentiles did not have God's law, did not even know God, and were not even seeking him. Yet they were being made right with God by faith. And so, the question would be why? Why? Because they were coming into the saving knowledge by faith. Okay, ask yourself this. I'm gonna ask this question to all of us in here and those who are online on Facebook and YouTube. By the way, we greet you in Jesus' name for tuning in with us. But before you got saved, ask yourself, were you seeking God? I know I wasn't. I got saved at 30. I was not seeking for God. Matter of fact, I was a rebel. I've heard some of your testimony. Now, maybe some of you never went as far dope dealing and being a dope fiend like me. You know, I was like right there in the midst of ungodliness. And some of you maybe never went that far, but guess what? You still didn't have a mind for God. None of us did. All we wanted to do was go party. What was those Wednesday nights? The Black Angus. You know where the Black Angus is? Right there in E Street? Yeah. Wednesday night. From 18 on up, they'd sneak in and go party all night long. Some of the bouncers knew these people and let them slide in that were underage. But they got in. We got in. Party. It was just, we were seeking God. None of us were. But look what Paul wrote to the Galatian church here. So we have a clear understanding about this. Look at this. In Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. This is how we got saved, by faith. Even when we have, look at this, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. You know what that means right there? Plain and simple. The Jewish people that grew up in Judaism, all they knew was the law. Okay? But that didn't make them saved. And it didn't make them right before God. But when the gospel was preached to us, God quickened us and we turned by faith. And then we became the righteousness of Christ by faith. We're not justified by our works. Some of us grew up in a Catholic religion. Some of us did our communion. What were the sacraments as a kid in Catholicism? Your first communion, your confirmation, what else? Some other things. That did not make you right before God. Look at verse 17 up here. Look at this. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found what? Sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I will make myself a transgressor. So what does that mean? That means that Paul understood that it was by faith we are saved. And it's a gift from God. We can't go to the law of God and say, you know what? I'm going to keep these commandments and I'm going to be right before God. That's what the Pharisees thought. They thought all they had to do was do these religious ceremonies and believe on the Ten Commandments and we're right with God. No. Jesus, what did Jesus say 19 times? Woe unto you, what? Hypocrites. You know, let me just say this for a moment. Many people think that Jesus never confronted anyone and rebuked them. He did it with the religious folks. The religious folks. Because they were so religious. And he called them hypocrites. Vipers. He called them snakes. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, that's Jesus? You mean loving Jesus? Oh, he confronted sin when he saw it. Especially hypocritical sin. They were supposed to be the ones that were supposed to be the light of the world. And what were they doing to people? They were stealing their money. They had all these pompous hats and these robes and thought that they were all that. They thought they were above the people and looked at the Gentiles as dogs and the lower class people. And God came on the scene and called them out. You know what? It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. They're still religious folks. I went to a church. You had to dress like this, look like this, smell like this, talk like this, look like this. And if you are out of that sequence, I don't think that person's saved. Jesus. We're saved by faith through God's grace. It was His mercy that saved us. Can I get amen? Let's move on to verse 31. Verse 31 in Romans chapter 9. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. You see, saints, in contrast to the Gentiles, the Jews try to get right with God by keeping the law only to fail. Only to fail. Why? Because they were hollow on the inside. They had no power. They had no spirit of God in them. Just imagine people that are in church today that are there because they just come to church. They've never been born again. They don't have the Spirit of God living in them. So they have no power to keep them. And we don't know who they are. Only God knows the hearts. But just imagine all the churches around the world where there's people that are not born again. They're not saved, but they're there. Remember the story that I shared? I don't think you guys were here. The story I shared, I'll share it real quick. In Russia, there was an underground church. And they were praying for a worship, someone to come and worship with them. They had church in the caves. And so a worship team showed up. And they came in with their, you know, suitcases with that had guitars and all that. And so they came in, they showed them all the way, and they were underground, deep underground cave. And then they showed up. And they were going, they were praising God. We're going to have worship. So they opened up their cases and pulled out machine guns. And they said, and they looked at all the people in the church, denounce Christ and we'll save you. Or flee out of here. Just run out of here. You can save your life if you run out of here. Half of those people ran out of there. The other ones fell on their face and said, go ahead and take our life, because we're part of God's family. And once the dust settled and all those that fled, and the ones that were there on their face before God, those musicians that had the machine guns, they put them down and picked up their instruments and said, you are the ones now we came to worship with. In other words, they got rid of the phonies. They got rid of the phonies. My goodness. Jesus, help us. And there's people like that. There's people like that. Look at this. Look what I found in Titus. In Titus 3:3. Look at this. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Put yourself in this category right here. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. I've heard your testimony. You've heard mine. We were involved in all kinds of weird stuff. Look at this. Various lusts and pleasures. Living in malice and envy. Hateful and hating one another. Oh, that's right. We used to go to parties looking for fights. Getting drunk. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Look at this right here. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. See, it was God's mercy that saved you, that saved me. We had no part in it. He just said, you know what? I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. And I'm going to save you. It was his mercy. Look at this. The word of God says, according to his mercy, he saved us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How many are so blessed to know that we got eternal life? And it's through Christ? And there was nothing we did but his mercy? Thank you, God. See, this is why Bible study is so important, to come out, to understand and to learn these things, how God perceives us. If you're not out in Bible study, you're never going to know the depths of his love and how he saved us and how we once were. So what a blessing to come out and be a part of this. Amen? And so they had incorrectly understood righteousness in the terms of work, the Jews during this time, and even those today. And they could not keep the law perfectly. Therefore, they could not keep it at all. The Bible says if you break one law, you've broken what? All of them. And they try to achieve right standing with God the wrong way, by keeping the law and being good. Thus, some of them became more dedicated to the law than to God. They thought that they could keep the law, God would have to accept them as his people. Think again. But God cannot be obligated by us. God owes us not one thing. Are you catching this? He owes us nothing. He chose us by his grace and mercy. You see, saints, the Jews did not see their own scriptures. The Old Testament taught salvation by faith and not by human effort. The point Paul made in the first part of this letter, and as a result, they stumbled over the great rock in their path, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what really stumbled them? Remember when Jesus was on the scene? Who did he go in fellowship with? Did he fellowship and sat down with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes? No. He sat with who? The sinners. Because he knew they needed a doctor. They needed someone desperately. Look what I found in 2 Peter right up here. Look at this. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Look at this, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would what? Live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the what? Of the wicked. What Peter is saying is, all these things that God dealt with, he's going to deal with it again in our day and time. Look at verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Remember when Noah was preaching for 100 years? What did he hear from the people? They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They laughed at him. It's no different than today when you share the gospel with someone. They laugh at you. They mock you. They say, oh, you goody-good two-shoe. Oh, you bunch of hallelujahs. That's okay. That's okay. Don't get mad at them. You pray for them. That one day they'll come to that place of surrendering their life to God. Amen? And this is why this whole chapter, the end of this chapter in chapter 9, was just about all that we're talking about. That the Jews thought they had it going on, and they didn't understand that it's by faith through Christ that we're saved. So now, let's move on to verse 32 of Romans chapter 9. And it reads, why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the what? Stumbling stone. Not rolling stones, stumbling stone. And Jesus was the rock of the offense. Some people still stumble over Christ. Why? Because salvation by faith doesn't make sense to them. Did you know that? You know, religious folks that keep all their rituals, they believe we're right with God because we keep all these man-made rules. You can't be right with God. You haven't been in church that long. We haven't seen you do anything for God. They'll look at you like that. And yet God saved you. And these religious folks are just going through religious things and have no relationship with God. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? Look what I found in Galatians chapter 2. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Did you catch that? Who are you telling them to live like Jews if you're not living like one? In other words, they're hypocrites, right? Look at verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. None. Keeping all these regulations, all these rules, having a measuring tape when a sister walks in to make sure that her dresses don't go past her ankles. Can't wear makeup, can't wear jewelry, can't wear earrings. I've been in those organizations. And if you don't look like that, guess what? You're probably not saved. Wow. Look at verse 17 up here. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build against those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Meaning that, you know what? We are saved by God's grace through faith. And we cannot save ourselves. Can I get an amen? Others stumble over Christ because his values are the opposite of the world's. Christ asks for humility, and many are unwilling to humble themselves before him. He requires obedience, and many refuse to put their will at his disposal. The rock has caused them to stumble. They heard about Christ and misunderstood, so they tripped over the one thing that could have saved them. So we're going to look at our last verse before we close, and that is found in verse 33 in Romans chapter 9. And it reads, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. How many are so blessed to honestly say that we came to Jesus by faith through God's grace, and now we're sealed, we're saved by faith. We're not saved by any rituals. We're not saved by dietary laws. We're not saved by what we wear. We're saved by God's grace, by his mercy. Thank you, God. You see, Paul, he quoted Isaiah. He quotes Isaiah right here. Behold, I lay as in Zion a stumbling stone. That actually came from Isaiah 28:16. Praise God. And this stone refers to the righteous few and to Christ. But I want you to catch this before we close. I found this in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at this, right up here. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. And so Peter even quoted that. And he quoted that from Isaiah and also probably being around Paul, the apostle. Look at verse 7 up here. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders reject has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But look, here's the good news for us. In verse 8, turn to your neighbor and say, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now are what? The people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Woo! Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Oh, come on, is he worthy? Woo! Jesus is worthy. Praise God. Praise God. Well, guess what, saints? This concludes chapter 9. Next week, we're going to be starting a new chapter, chapter 10. But maybe, just maybe, you've tuned in. And maybe it's your first, second, maybe your third time that you caught our Bible study. And now God is challenging you to surrender your heart to him by faith. And all you have to do is cry out to God for mercy, and he will save you. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would save you, and God would start your journey with him, and God would bless you, and you would go from faith to faith, glory to glory, and he would bless your whole entire existence, and that you would be with him forevermore. If that's you, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is he worthy? Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, we are so blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.